2 Kings chapter number 3 says in verse number 1, "Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother." That was Ahab and Jezebel. "But not like his father and his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, 'The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?' And he said, 'I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses.' And he said, 'Which way shall we go up?' And he answered, 'The way through the wilderness of Edom.' So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?' And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, 'Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.' And Jehoshaphat said, 'The word of the Lord is with him.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, 'What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy fathers and to the prophets of thy mother.' And the king of Israel said unto him, 'Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab.' And Elisha said, 'As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel.' And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, 'Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." Today I want to preach on, when you're in the valley, dig a ditch. Let's pray. Amen. Now, to give you a little context, you have the two kings, you have the two kingdoms. When we're looking at the book of Kings, after Solomon passed away, the kingdoms were divided up. You have Israel, and then you have Judah. And Israel went bad. Jeroboam led them down the wrong road. They began to worship in the high places. They began to put up altars. They began to worship Baal, and Ahab was one of the worst of the kings. Oh, Ahab and Jezebel, Ahab, because of him, because of what they were doing to the prophets of the Lord had called a drought on the land for several years. And we know about the conflict that happened up on the mountain where the 500 prophets of Baal were slain. We know about the altar. I'm just trying to get you into context. This might have been about 10 years before this. And then Elijah, after that time of depression, the Lord had gone to him and comforted him. And he told him to anoint a king, and he had, when he'd gone out, he cast his mantle on Elisha, and Elisha began to follow him. And when Elijah went up into heaven, when he was taken up into heaven, he had asked Elisha, "What would you have?" He said, "Lord, give me a double portion of what you have." And he did indeed. And Elisha now is the prophet here that we're talking about. But we've got these two kings. The king of Israel, he's not as wicked as his mom and dad. His brother was king for a little bit, and he'd fallen through a lattice and hurt himself, and he'd inquired of the prophet of Baal, and God sent a prophet to tell him, "Is there not a God in Israel that you have to go and inquire of the prophet of Baal?" And he killed him. And so here we have Jeroboam. if I got the right name right after going through all these. I am sorry, Jehoram. So we have Jehoram, who's a slightly wicked king, and he's going to reclaim what was the kingdoms, because they began to rebel after his dad had passed away. And Jehoshaphat, he was a pretty good king. He'd taken down the idols. He followed the ways of his father Asa in following God. And matter of fact, he had joined up with Ahab in one battle. And before they would even go to battle, he called for a prophet of God to let them know how they would fare. And that was when God sent 400 prophets to him to lie into the ear of Ahab. And Ahab ended up getting killed in that battle. But the Lord chastised Jehoshaphat for joining up with Ahab. I'm just getting some context here. Hang in there. But Jehoshaphat, maybe because Jehoram wasn't so bad, maybe he didn't mind joining up with him in this. But the point is, they join together and they go to fight this battle. And Jehoshaphat's been blessed. He's got a mighty army, so he's kind of handy to have around for Jehoram. And as they go on their way, they make a 7-day journey, and they expect to find water at the river, but they don't find any. Now, let me tell you something. When you don't have water, it's a bad thing. When you got that many cattle, my goodness, if you had to wake up with me in the morning and deal with the cats. She points at her. She doesn't get out of bed till they're fed. They're little beasts. I mean, you go toward the coffee pot. I can only imagine all the cattle. I can only imagine all the beasts of the field that are crying out for water. And I can only imagine. You ever been around a bunch of people? I mean, because when you're in a crowd of people, everybody's happy, right? There's never anybody that gripes and complains. So, I mean, things begin to happen to the body. Things begin to happen to the mind when you begin to run dry. And I just want to talk a little bit about the solution that the Lord gave them. So they're running dry, but they're about to fight a battle. They're heading over to fight the Moabites. When you're dehydrated, having to fight when you're dehydrated, having to pull the animals along when you're dehydrated. You know, I remember one time, I think I might have told you all this, but I remember one time in the Navy, you know, they gave we on the ship, wasn't a very big ship, but we all kind of got sick. And I mean bad. I mean, when you look at a receptacle, you don't know what goes first. And that's as far as I'll go down that road. But you get dehydrated. And I remember looking at that middle rack and saying, that's too high. And I just laid on the floor and rolled into the bottom one because it's only about this far off the deck. Amen. And I remember, and it happened to me twice while we were up there. I remember Dee Dee carrying me down the docks because I had duty. You got to show up. You got to show up. And I'm leaning on Dee Dee as we're going down to the docks and up the brow. And I'd been up all night doing all sorts of things. And we get up that brow, and I'm just dehydrated, and I'm sick, but I got to report in. And I remember going to Doc, and he said, you need to go on over to the hospital. We had an arrangement. We were in Staten Island, New York. We had an arrangement with the hospital there. He sent me over there, which meant I had to go back down the docks. But then I had to go to the duty officer, and he looks at me and says, well, you got duty today. And I just looked at him. I said, you can take it up with Doc. He told me to go. Yeah. And we go to the doctor, and I don't know why my wife gets a pill and I get this little bullet thing. But I tell you, I know what it's like to be running dry in the body and things don't work right. And just to finish that story, you know, one of our hull technicians was talking to one of the hull technicians on the other ship, and they're the ones that wear the white suits, you know, and hook up the line, the special hose line, you know, when the ship pulls in. If you ever have an RV, you know what I'm talking about. And they said, well, what did you do when the sewage contaminated the drinking water? And he said, well, I guess we drank it. So I guess at least we all knew why we were in that shape. I'm a little stronger because of it, though. I tell you what, Mexico doesn't bother me. But I'm talking about running dry. And you know, in your spiritual life, you can get to running dry. You can get to that dry place. And your spiritual life, it doesn't work quite right either. I mean, in your life, when you don't have the water, I was reading about water. I got an article here that they sent out one time for a safety notice. I was reading it. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. We'll be here all day. Amen. But they listed all the things that water does in your body, the nutrients that it carries, and rebuilding cartilage and things like that. All these things that take place. And a lot of these, and serotonin, and you see why I'm not reading it? They probably describe it better. But all the things that water does in your body, and yet we fail to drink it. It said, you know, when you drink the tea and you drink the coffee, you think you're getting water. That's not getting water. You're dehydrating yourself. You're running dry. You know, in our own spiritual life, we can get carried away. We can take on. You know, there's nothing better than the pure. I'm getting thirsty just talking about it. There's nothing better than the pure water. You know, but it's not always pleasant to drink. I grew up in Texas City. I learned not to drink the water. It's better now. But, you know, in the 80s, it wasn't so good. And maybe I'm just older now and can't taste it. But I remember when I was a kid, I hated drinking water out of the tap. I even hated it more when I went to my grandparents, you know, and it smelled like, what, a rotten egg? And they said, oh, that's good for you. It might be, but it's not going in me. And you run dry, and your body begins to break down. In your spiritual life, you know, you might think taking on the devotional. You might think doing these other things that are filtered through other people. Sometimes it's like drinking a soda, or sometimes it's like drinking that tea. We got to have a little bit of flavor in it, you know. Now you get those water bottles and you can get a little packet and you can mix it in there just right, you know, get some flavor. But it's still not as good to you as that pure, sweet water. That's why I encourage you read your Bible. Read the straight Bible. Devotionals are good, but don't neglect to read the straight Bible. That's like drinking the pure, straight water of the Word. Y'all get the point. They're running dry. They're about to fight. I got to catch up with myself. When it comes down to it, one of the kings, the one who was wicked, in case you didn't follow between Jehoram and Jehoshaphat. Jehoram, he wasn't all the way as wicked as his dad, but he was still wicked. And this one was the one, God didn't send him here. God didn't set the direction. Nobody asked God if they ought to be going. But when they get to that place where they're running dry, there's two different reactions that take place. The first reaction that takes place is from Jehoram, the slightly wicked one. And he said, God has brought these three kings here to be slain. And he's blaming God for it. The thing is, God didn't have anything to do with it. God didn't create the circumstances. People often blame God for circumstances that he didn't create. They may have created these problems long before they turned to God. He didn't send the army against them. They went looking for a fight. He didn't tell Jehoshaphat to link up with Jehoram. Matter of fact, he got on him for linking up with Israel. Jehoshaphat linked up with Ahab, a wicked king, and now he linked up with his son. The son wasn't as bad because he put away the Baal worship, unlike his father Ahab and his mother Jezebel. We'll preach about her sometime. But even so, he hitched up his army to him, and even though he had been rebuked for linking up with Ahab, God didn't tell him the route to take. And, you know, there's sometimes in our life we get ahead of God. We'll get out on there and we'll find out there's no water there. And you can have one of two reactions. You can blame God, or you can do like Jehoram. He said, is there not a prophet that we can consult? Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet? Verse number 11. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. That means he spent a lot of time with the man of God. Here's the prophet here. And so he calls him up. He calls for a minstrel. Look down at verse number 16. And this is the word from the Lord. Verse number 16, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye, your cattle, and your beasts. Now something just to think about. We've got a vast army here made up of three nations. They're in a valley. Their strength is already starting. They're starting to feel the effects. They're dumping out the empty canteen. They're in the desert as far as they're concerned. You know, you can see the guy getting that last drop. And the order comes down. And the men of the field, and if you've been in the military, you know how that is. Everybody's always happy about the orders. And the orders come down, and they're standing there, and it says, we're going to make this valley full of ditches. Some of your Bibles may say pits. We're putting holes in the ground. So we're going to make this valley full of ditches. Grab a shovel, get busy. Grab whatever you can. We're going to dig through. He may have even told him why. He said, because the prophet Elisha has told us that there will be water. And when you begin to dig, you think about that water that's coming. Because if you just dig a little puddle, you're going to be drinking out of it. If you dig a big hole, you're going to have access to that. You know, he that reaps, sows sparingly will reap sparingly. So those guys are out there, you know, there may be some guys that were griping and complaining. Because they couldn't see wind, they couldn't see rain, they couldn't see what was coming over the head. You know, when you do things, you like to see a little indication. You know, y'all might not understand this. This is what's got the kids so much with video games, because they can push a button and bink, bink, coin pops out. You know, in life, the coin don't pop out for another month, 2 weeks. You got to go to work. So they're not seeing and they're not getting any feedback on what's going on. And they're getting out there with the shovels, and there's some that are griping and complaining. Oh, I remember the working part. Just because you're here, I think I'm talking about the Navy. You just make me think about it. I'm sorry. On them working parties, I remember starting out, you're bringing the food on board, you know, and you got men lined up all the way down the flight deck and all the way down the brow, and buddy, they're handing. And that box is just making its way down, you know. And you'd play games with each other, you know, like a heavy box, you would pretend it's light. And the light box, you would pretend it's heavy, and they'd almost throw it over their shoulder when they got it. But then there was this trend that happened on our ship. We were a reserve ship, so we didn't have the highest quality. I mean, they were active duty, but it was a reserve ship. It was what was left, you know. It was Desert Storm, and we were what was left. It didn't go over. And that line, somehow you went from this to this, and then by the end of it, you were down the brow, picking up the box and walking up there. Because some guy's buddy would come and say, hey, I need him. We got PMs to do. Hey, I need him. We got this to do. We got that. And then some of them would just be like, door's open. Yeah. You know? I remember one guy, he worked, I mean, when you saw him, we called it the ballroom where he worked out. And you saw him in there, and buddy, sweating, pushing, you know, heavy weights and everything. He's standing on the brow next to the glass box. Come on, man, just bring it up. It's exercise. Not the kind I do. But the point is, they're out there digging ditches. Some of them are going to be digging a little harder than others. Some of them are going to be a little more into it than others. But there's no indication. There's no wind. There's no rain. That sun's beating down. There's no clouds to tell you, hey, this is going to pay off soon. This is what's going to fill these ditches. But they're out there and they've got to dig some ditches. They're in the valley and they got to dig ditches. Because the Lord said, the water's coming. We don't know where it's coming from, but the Lord said the water's coming. It's kind of like that in our life too, in our salvation, right? We don't always get to see what's at the end of the road. We don't always get to see the clouds. We don't always get to see the rains. We don't get to see the rapture until the day that it happens. We don't get to see the other side until the day we're there. But we have to trust it by faith. And while we're here, we have to dig our ditches. There were some that were working that had faith. There were some that looked back and said, you know, the other guy was over there griping, I don't understand why we got to dig these ditches. I don't get it. I've been around it. I've done it. I'm honest enough to say it. One person can make it bad for everybody. I don't know why we're digging these ditches in the ground. Well, I tell you what, Elisha said there's water coming, and he was the one, he poured the water over the hands of Elijah. Let me tell you something. 10 years ago, I remember when there was no rain, there was no water, but I remember seeing Elijah up there on that mountain, and I remember he poured all that water, and boy, I was thirsty looking at it, and he poured all that water on that altar. And he prayed to God, and the prophets of Baal had put their offering up there, and they couldn't. They cried out. He challenged them. They cried out to God. They were cutting themselves. They cried out to Baal, and they were calling for him. The fire never came. Elijah, I just thought he was being cocky. He poured all that water over the wood. Barrels of water. Precious stuff at the time. He got up there and prayed, and the fire fell from heaven, and whoo, licked up that water, licked up that offering. I've seen God work with Elijah. You know, there's people in your life, they remember times when God was working in their life. They look back, there was some hard times, there was some tough times. When you're looking, when you're at the bottom of the barrel and all you can see is that little circle of light at the top, and that's God. Sometimes you get down there, it's an opportunity to get on your knees and look up. You hang on to it. And then God will send the water in ways you don't expect, from directions you don't expect. You try to figure it out. And, you know, I was afraid to. There's been times in our life when we needed money or when we needed something and just prayed. You know, and I'm not saying that there's a Brinks truck that just drives around waiting to answer God's prayers. Oh, no, it's like that widow that Elijah stayed with. Sometimes it's just a matter of looking back in that vase. Well, I don't know how, but there's a little bit of flour there. There's enough for today. And you get up the next morning. I don't know how, but there's a little bit of flour there. There's enough for today. You got to dig the ditches. Do what God told you to do. Those ones with faith, holding up the ones that are going through it, the ones that are doubting. And then there's the other one that didn't want to work so much, and he gets out there and he does a couple shovelfuls, or maybe he wanders off. And there's, you know, the other guys out there, all you see is dirt coming up out of the hole. Because he knows God's gonna bless. Now, this isn't the part where I go to you and say, all right, you sow a seed offering, buddy, God's going to pile it up. I'm not going to do that to you. Unless you want to now. I don't know what God's going to do, but you can plant a seed offering today. No, don't. I'm confusing y'all. But, I mean, God had said he was going to fill it with water, and he just had enough faith. Can you imagine Noah 120 years? He's looking out. He can't see clouds, wind, or rain. He doesn't even know what rain is. God said it's going to rain. God said he was going to destroy this wicked nation, this wicked generation. And all Noah knew, all he had in front of him was build a boat. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. What's a boat? Why are you building it in the middle of the land? Don't you? How are you going to fish out of that thing? What good is that doing you? God said, build a boat. I'm going to build a boat. It's right in front of me. That's all I know to do. Well, what's going to happen with the boat? Where is it going to go? What's you going to do with it? I don't know. God said, build a boat. Noah, you're just silly. I may be. But God said, build a boat. I'm going to build a boat. Digging those ditches. That one fellow had dirt popping out of the hole. The other fellow's over there. I don't know why we got to be out here. I don't know what this is. You know that's your hole, right? When the water comes, you know that's yours. And you got to feed that animal you've been hauling behind you. You got to give it water, too. There ain't no water coming. We're just stupid out here wearing ourselves out when we ought to be saving, when we ought to be tightening up, when we ought to be waiting for Moab to come and save what we got left so that we can fight him. Dig the ditch. By way of illustration, a man works for his father-in-law, and he's newly married or he's about to get married, but he's working for his future father-in-law, and he's a contractor. He's building houses. And he's been working for his father-in-law a while. That's how he met the woman. And met his future wife, I'm sorry, the lovely woman. And then the father-in-law says, I want you in charge of this house building project that I'm going to do. And it was a nice house on paper. You know, you saw the plans, and it was a nice house on paper. It looked nice. And he looked at those plans, and he said, this is my future father-in-law. I want to impress him. I'm going to get this house built. I'm going to get it built for less. I'm going to make my father-in-law some money with this house. So he gets in there, and he knows enough about building, and he cuts a few corners. Reminds me of the pastor telling the whole congregation, I wouldn't have told the congregation about building the church and how he'd left out these triangles and saved a bunch of money by leaving out the triangles, and then telling them about how he was out there at night tying the side of the framing to his truck so he could pull it back up. They were kind of important. But this guy knew where to cut corners. He got just a little bit of he didn't get molar faucets, let's just say that. He kind of cut the corners, you know. And at the end, it had a big profit margin on it, estimated what it was worth versus what they'd actually paid for it, you know. I mean, it wasn't a nice house. It kind of looked good on the outside, but it wasn't something that he'd have built for himself. And he gets done with it and turns it over to his father-in-law, and his father-in-law says, I wanted to give y'all something for your wedding day. It's what you put forward. It's what are you going to give God? Are you going to give him this? Or are you going to give him that? And there was divine deliverance. Let's look at this. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver. I mean, not just filling up with water, but he's also making another promise. And this is but a light thing. It's a light thing to give water to an army and to give water to all their beasts and animals. This is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop all the wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. That's not all. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early. Look with me now, verse 22. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. You know, you might not like to look at pictures in the Bible. I do. I look for them where I can find them. And the water on the other side is red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. And they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country, and they beat down the cities on every good piece of land, cast every man his stone, and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kirhaseth left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about and smote it. And then it goes on. But their work paid off. They dug the ditch when it didn't look like anything was going to happen. That water comes in there, and the Moabites look out, and they're ready to fight, and they look out over there. And this has happened a few times in the Bible for the Israelites, for Judah, for the people of Israel. They'd gone to fight, and the armies had already fought themselves, or they had vacated the camp, and they just spoiled it. And Moabites thought that's what had happened. And they go in there, and buddy, they go down. I mean, you can just think about them seeing that valley, and oh, the fight's already been fought for us. And they head down that hill, and they get in there. Uh-oh. This is a refreshed army down here. You know, in our life, in our Christian walk, when Satan and the world see someone who has relied on the blood of Christ for an eternity in heaven, they think they are weak. How many of you have heard people say, well, religion is just a crutch? Christianity is just a crutch. They see it as weak. They think they're weak. They think they're soft. But when they attack, they find that underneath the blood, we've been made stronger. When Christians are strong enough to cry out to God in their time of need, when they dig those ditches, even when there's no sign of rain, they'll be strengthened for the battle ahead. So if I can make some suggestions to you as we stand, dig in to the Word of God, even when it doesn't make sense to you. Read it, even if you got to kind of skip over the bagats, but read your Bible. Read it through. Read it again. When it comes to teaching, when it comes to taking care of the kids, teaching the kids about the Bible, when it comes to witnessing to your friend or praying for your sons and your daughters, dig those ditches. God has promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us. There's other promises in the Bible that we can claim as Christians. We have His Holy Spirit. We have His power. You know, I have to lean on Him every morning. Every Sunday morning when I get up here, for over a year now, I've had to lean on the Lord to let me preach. Just keep digging those ditches. And you know, there's something else. Something I want you to remember from the story. That's when Elijah showed up and Jehoram said something smart aleck to him about how God brought the kings together so that he could slay them. Elijah said, if it weren't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even regard you. And you know, it's something God says, if it's not for Jesus Christ, he'd pay us no mind. He gave His Son on the cross to die for our sins. And there's people that say, I want to work my way to heaven, I want to do this, I'll do that, or I'll get in God's good graces, or whatever they think. And God says, if it's not for my Son, I'll not regard you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't you come today? While she plays, with every head bowed and every eye closed, pray for this church, pray for your family. Pray and ask the Lord where the ditches are that need to be dug.